This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Welcome to the Chelsea Fancast Preview Show. I'm Stanford Chidge, and in this new weekly podcast, I'll be joined by the one and only Kerry Dixon, scorer of 193 goals for Chelsea and a genuine legend, to look ahead to the next Chelsea match. The podcast will be available to download every Friday by 5 p.m. And of course, this week we'll be discussing the Arsenal game at the Emirates. So, Kerry, how you doing, mate?
Well, I could be better, got to be honest. But nevertheless, things are starting to turn the corner, and I'm looking forward to the rest of this season and hopefully the rest of the life, my life.
Yeah, absolutely. Amen to that. And it's been great to see you release another biography, which hopefully we'll talk about a little bit later in terms of how people can get that. But before we do that, we've obviously got Arsenal coming up on Saturday. And I think for many Chelsea supporters, particularly of my vintage, Kerry, whenever we think of playing Arsenal away, we think of that wonderful, wonderful August day in 1984 when we played Highbury, which I know is very, very special to you, isn't it?
Well, yes, of course it is. First goal in what is now the Premier League, the old First Division. And, if people ask me about which goals are like best out of the 193 I scored for Chelsea, then this is going to come out on top, this goal. It's probably the first, and Grimsby probably be the second, the goal I scored before that. But coming back to the anticipation of it all, and you know, going to the Arsenal on a morning kickoff, never expected to see what I saw when the club bus turned round the corner just to go down towards Highbury and Chelsea fans. It was a sea of blue outside, and you know, the bus struggled to get to the players' entrance where we went in. And well, that was reciprocated outside. The fans were all in the clock end when, you know, we went behind. And, when I hit the volley and the goal went in, it wasn't just a goal. And it was wonderful for me to have scored in the First Division for what it was. Against a great side, I have to be honest, an international defence, an international team. But the reaction of the Chelsea fans was absolutely amazing. Something that I've never forgotten. For those who were in the clock end, if you didn't jump, you would have been lifted by the sheer weight, if you like. It's not weight, it's 15,000 people, however many were crammed in there, all going up in the air and going crazy at once. And to top that off, there must have been another 5,000 who were where they weren't meant to be, down the sides, and some even claimed it in the North Bank. So, you know, it was a crazy moment. And as I turned and spun away after scoring, Chelsea fans all up the side as well. It was quite incredible.
It was. I mean, I wasn't lucky enough to be there, sadly, but I've got so many mates who were, and they still, you know, call it out as one of their favourite Chelsea moments. But I mean, you know, as a player who played in that, I mean, were you aware of that amazing atmosphere and the fact there were so many Chelsea fans going absolutely mental?
Well, I've never seen nothing like it, probably again, in one condensed area. Obviously, the stadium has changed, and you know, because of Hillsborough, and you probably never see a like again. Mm. But it was something I'll never forget. But Chelsea fans did create that sort of atmosphere towards the end of the first season. You know, we were starting to get 40,000 gates at home. I remember there was 5,000 of them packed in at Tottenham away when in a night game, which they created an incredible atmosphere. It's something that Chelsea fans can do. You know, when they get, certainly at away games, it used to be lots of them said that the away support was so much better. I think it was possibly something to do with the ground, you know, being so far away from the pitch at the old stadium. But nevertheless, Chelsea fans did create that sort of atmosphere. But that was a special one that day, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's you know, a legacy from those days. I still think that Chelsea supporters away, even in the modern day, actually, are very good at creating that atmosphere. Talking of which, of course, we've got Arsenal coming up on Saturday. And I'm delighted to say that our recent record against Arsenal is very good. I mean, we've not lost in them in the league since 2011 with that mad 3-5. And we've not actually conceded a goal against them in the last six league games. So, I mean, we should be going into this with optimism, one feels.
I think you might be tempting a little bit of fate there.
That's the fan in me, Kerry.
Yeah, well, you know, you talk about not conceding a goal. Every time someone sets something up or sets a situation up, then it's there to be shot at. Our defensive record this season, it's been a little bit iffy, certainly of late. We've looked, for me, a little bit patchy in terms of, you know, it's not a solid rear guard that we knew in times of not conceding a goal to Arsenal and the certain defensive records we've set over the years. And, you know, David Luiz coming back, JT, will he be fit? Won't he be fit? They say he will. You know, knowing John, he'll try his best to be fit. Will he be playing through pain?
I mean, the runes are that he will be back. And I think, you know, judging from the defensive display, which against Liverpool was pretty shocking, and actually in the first half against Leicester wasn't much better, I think you're right. His leadership and organisation is going to make a big difference. But I think you're right as well. You mentioned David Luiz, and I think there are a couple of questions that a lot of supporters would be asking about the defence for Saturday, which is, you know, if JT is fit, who will partner him? Will it be Cahill or Luiz?
Well, that's a good point. Gary Cahill has been his long-standing partner for quite a while now. That's not to say his performances are being monitored. Every player is looked at by the manager and the supporters and everyone else each week on their own individual performance. And, you know, the defence as a whole, it's, you know, Antonio Conte will work out who he decides is his best to. He obviously, at the moment, one feels he's going with Cahill and Terry, having left Luiz out after buying him back for a decent amount of money, it must be said. But he must also be thinking that there's a place for David Luiz in his plans, otherwise he wouldn't have spent that money. So it's going to be interesting just how Conte does this and quite, as you've already said, looks how he views the last two defensive performances. I think if fit, JT will play. And if I had to hedge a bet, and as you know, I'm a bad gambler, I'm going to go with Gary Cahill, I'm afraid, at the moment. I think he might just stay with it one more time. Arsenal don't want to give him any encouragement. They can play. I'm going to stick with Gary Cahill at the moment.
I think that's a good shout, mate. I mean, I personally rate Luiz, and I think there's a lot of nonsense talked about the fact that he can't defend. I mean, and I've said this to many supporters on the show and when I've been interviewed and said, well, look, you know, remember that David Luiz was part of probably the greatest defensive displays by any English team on that run to the Champions League final and in fact winning it. So I think it's a bit of a lazy narrative, isn't it, really?
Yes, because he's got some ability and he does things. He goes forward comfortably. He takes free kicks. He tries things. Some of his passing is quite amazing. People would link that, if you like, with a Glenn Hoddle-type passing ability from midfield. And you know, when you look at John Terry tackle and Gary Cahill tackle, and you know they fly into tackles. David Luiz doesn't do that. He tends to try and anticipate a little bit, nick balls in front of centre forwards, and read the game. And that's the way he plays his defensive role. Whether it suits everyone or not remains to be seen, and people say he gives them a chance. But I'm like you, I think that he's got an awful lot to offer, and he can defend, of course he can.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think he probably feels in his own brain he's got a little bit more to offer the team going forward.
Well, let's hope so. I mean, the other conundrum in defence, I think, which is really with Branna Ivanovic, who, you know, I love Branna. I mean, in many respects, he's a bit of a throwback, I think, to the old days, the days when you were playing, you know, a guy who absolutely bleeds blue, would run through a brick wall for us, has been a superb servant. But I have a fear at the moment that he's on the downward slope as a player, really. And I think we're vulnerable there. And it was interesting to see Alonso playing against Leicester. I mean, I don't think he set the world alight in that game particularly. But what I do think is by playing Aspie as right back and Louis and Alonso as left back, it gave us a lot more balance. So do you think that Conte might take a brave decision and not play Branner on Saturday?
Well, it would be very brave. I think I'd stick with Branner. That would be my shout. He's experienced. If he's on a downward spiral, slow downward spiral, it would be. I would agree with you that he's been an absolute rock for the team.
Yeah.
Okay, we can't live in the past, and big decisions, as we've said, have to be made. That's why managers get paid the money they do to make them decisions. Jose Mourinho made a decision with Ashley Cole and Azpilicueta coming over to left back and things like that. And people and managers have made decisions before. If that be the case, then Conte's got to make the decision and stand by it. Mm. But nevertheless, for me, I would play Ivanovic and Azpilicueta as my two. I hear your balanced view, but at the moment I wasn't totally convinced, and I'd need to see a little bit more, and I'd go with the tried and tested for this particular game.
I think it's interesting what you're saying, actually, and I think you've got a really good point there, that Conte's kind of feeling his way through the side at the moment, and it is early days, and I think he's going to give a lot of the tried and tested players the benefit of the doubt. And I think, a lot of this that you certainly see on social media and stuff is supporters have always been and will always be very impatient. And we always like to think that we know much better. But the reality is that, our jobs are not on the line, are they? So, you can understand why he sticks with it.
But the reality is also, that's why we're supporters. That's why we have a view. And that's why football is the game it is.
Yep, we all have our opinions. That's what makes it a great game. Now, the only other kind of, tactical or playing type of issue that I want to really talk about is really picking up on the midfield. And I think one of the things that we've seen in the last few games is a kind of a lack of creativity in midfield. You know, playing Kante and Matic and Oscar together, Matic and Oscar don't seem to offer an awful lot creatively. And when Fabregas played against Leicester in the week, I mean, he put in a superb performance, and there's a real clamour from the supporters, I think, to see him start on Saturday. Do you think he might start?
What a difference a year makes, eh? I think for one, he has to start. I think he should have been playing from the start. Anyone who's ever listened to me talk football, I was a forward, and this defensive midfield.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Chidge.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chich, I'd be bereft, inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live, it's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great! I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry.
Where do I sign up, Ginge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/ChelseaFancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box.
Build a role. I don't like one, let alone two. Jose Mourinho has introduced two. Antonio Conte, I think, is defensive-minded. He's a typical Italian coach. That's not to say he's not going to be a winner, but he is, as a lot of good managers are, cautious defensively to start off with. But nevertheless, it's two holding midfield players. I mean, when he bought Kante, you know, I always look at big signings and I think to myself, the money is normally spent on that sort of money, on creative or explosive players or players who are going to change a game. People will argue, you know, you look at your Makélélé role, he's the man responsible for all this defensive midfield stuff. He was the best in the business at what he did, and he played in successful sides. So other people then decide, not only have you got to have one, we've got to have two of them. Well, that's, you'll end up with mundane, boring football with people who don't create in the hope that you can win the game with a free kick or a corner kick or a set play or something like that. The likes of Fabregas, who can pick a pass, in my day, the Glenn Hoddles, the Mickey Hazards, the Pat Nevins, people who can change the game, can do things with a pass, can make things happen with a the football. They're the things, not only defensively, because every supporter wants to win, but we want to see creativity. We want to see flair. We want to see goals. We want to see near misses and excitement. You know, this boring football, win 1-0, it's great. Everyone said, oh, boring, boring, and, you know, sideways passing and possession and all. Listen, give me a 5-3, 5-4. I mean, every week, what fun that would be. Not for defenders, but listen, given the choice, I'd take a 5-4 rather than a 1-0.
Yeah, well, we used to have quite a few of those in your day, as I remember.
Well, that's probably why I take them.
Very good point. I mean, actually, I think you make an excellent point, and it's really, you know, it's interesting to hear the perspective of a great striker, because I think one of the things that we have been missing with Fabregas absent is the link-up play he has between him and Costa. Although, having said that, Costa's been on fire and looks like he's back to his best this season. I mean, he's got 5 goals in 5 games, and he's looking hungry. But I tell you what really impressed me in the game against Leicester when he came on, he just looks really sharp. You know, when he gets the ball, the time between getting the ball and cracking a shot away is minimal. And that tells me that's a striker who's in form.
Well, who's to say my argument would continue, and it's one that would never be resolved, and it'll only be resolved by success, is how many more goals would he have scored if he had more creative players on the field?
Very, very, you know, very good point.
Because I agree with you. He's looking sharp in a team that, I have to say, has not created loads of chances. He works very hard. He plays the position very well as a single striker. You know, I'm an advocate for two strikers. Leicester won the league last year, 4-4-2. I've never seen a shape or a system win a football match. It's players that win, and it's what players that complement each other. You know, it's who does what, and you have to score goals to win a football match. Costa, for me, yes, he is the finished article. Chelsea at the moment still need a bit of fine tuning. Conte's still looking for it. I hope he gets it. Fabregas has to stay on and play. I think Hazard will be our most creative player. But certainly in the centre, Fabregas is the one that can make that pass. And Costa, without doubt, needs service.
Yeah, I mean, he did look a bit isolated against Liverpool, which was worrying. I mean, the other thing that you know, this is something we've talked about on the Fancast, and I've been ranting about it actually for weeks, because frankly, it's really pissed me off. But I think he gets a really bad press, and I think it's a very lazy narrative again, isn't it? It's like, oh, he cheats, he dives, he does all of this. It's always all of his fault. But, you know, the statistics, you know, bear out the fact that he's probably one of the most fouled players in the Premier League. And actually, you look at the fouls that he commits, and he's way down the list. So I it really annoys me, this negativity about him. I mean, where do you stand on that with Costa?
I think he's great. I think that people say he plays on the edge. This has become one of the phrases of modern football, and there's plenty of them. But he takes the rules to the point whereby he's either on, just short of, or slightly over every rule that he's going in football. And, you know, sometimes people get the hump about it, and quite rightly so. And other times they get the hump and they're out of order. I think as long as he makes his return in terms of goals, Chelsea fans undoubtedly see him putting in the effort and work, and he plays his position very well. In fact, for me, he's one of the best strikers in the world, playing the type of position. Mark Hughes was a hold-up player, and he, very abrasive striker, you know, battling always with centre-halves. Didn't score the goals that he should have done, necessarily, but Costa is a bit like that, and he gets the goals. So, you know, Chelsea fans will never be complaining. And listen, if people give him stick, and we can put up with that. David Speedy in my day used to get all the stick going and left me free to score a couple of goals.
He certainly did, actually. And, of course, a very abrasive character in his own right, wasn't he?
Well, that's another day, I should think.
Indeed. Well, let's hope Costa, you know, has got his shooting boots on and gets a hatful tomorrow. I mean, the one thing that I love about us playing Arsenal recently, you know, aside from not losing to them and usually winning, is the fact that you've had these wonderful kind of contrasting styles, and we've tended to beat them up and bully them a lot, which I, you know, as a supporter, you love to see that. And, you know, with Costa on your side, you get a feeling that we might do that. So just a finally bit on the game. I mean, do you know, what's your prediction for Saturday?
If we can keep it tight defensively, I think we'll win the game. I do think that most games, the way Arsenal play, are an open game, attacking games. And I have to say, they give you a chance. And at the moment, I think we'll probably give them a chance or two. So I'm going for possibly Chelsea by the odd goal, 2-1 or 3-2.
Yeah, oh, good man. I like to hear that you're feeling positive about it. I mean, I was a lot more nervous about this game, having seen us play Liverpool last week. But I think, you know, given that Fabregas gets a start on Saturday, I'm going to feel a lot happier. I mean, if you'd have talked to me before the Leicester game, I would have said it might be a draw, probably a 2-2. But I think I'm feeling a little bit happier after the Leicester game. So I'm going to go, like you, actually, the odd goal, probably a 2-1, I think.
Let's agree on that, then.
All right. Well, it's nice to agree, Kerry. I always knew we would. listen, mate.
It's not bad in the first show.
It's not bad at all, is it? Well, if you've listened to any of the others, you'll find out that most of us on the show disagree with each other all the time, actually. I mean, in the old days when we used to do it in the pub, it would come to blows nearly. So it's nice that you and I are getting on so well.
That's a subject I prefer not to talk about.
Well, quite right, absolutely. Well, talking about things like that, of course, I mean, I know you've just released another biography called Up Front. And, I mean, judging by the reaction that it's got from everybody that I know and a lot of people on Twitter and stuff, it seems to be going very well. I mean, how's it all going with the book?
I'm not really sure, to be honest. I don't know how many it's sold or how it's selling. I hope people who read it think that it's an interesting enough book. And, you know, it's a book that's been told honestly. It's a book that's been told as it is. And it's pretty much my life in terms of what I did in football and how my off-the-field activities have affected my life. But nevertheless, you know, people can view it how they view it. I hope people buy it for obvious reasons. And I hope people get some sort of enjoyment out of it and take something out of the book. But I don't know how it's going. I just hope that it sells well and people get some enjoyment out of it.
Absolutely spot on. I mean, what I will say, I'm not quite finished it yet, but I mean, what I would say is it's lovely, you know, reliving a lot of those memories of the games that you played for us in. But also, I think what comes across very well, it's an incredibly honest book, mate. And I think, you know, hats off to you for being so honest about that. I think that you deserve a massive slap on the back for that.
I was just going to say thanks to you for your kind words. First show here with you. And thanks to everyone, I would like to say that, who has bought the book and offered kind words with it since.
Well, spot on, mate. Well, you're well loved, as you know. Listen, I know you've got a few book signings coming up, haven't you? Do you want to tell us about those?
There's one at Lashings in Maidstone in Kent, and there's one at Sutton Football Club on October 28th, which is confirmed. So, you know, any Chelsea fans live near them places, please feel free to come along and I'll sign your book for you.
Well, I've got details of the one in Maidstone, which I think is the 28th of September at 7 o'clock, isn't it? I'm not quite sure where it is, but it's definitely Maidstone. Maidstone.
Yeah, Lashings Bar. I'm not sure of the address, Lashings in Maidstone. It's a sports bar, so that's one of them anyway.
So that's on the 28th of September at 7 p.m. And I know that you're going to be at the CFC UK stall on the 23rd before the Man United game, aren't you? I think doing a few books signings there.
As it stands, you know, that's one of the ones that's been penciled in as well. So, you know, there are one or two events to try and publicise the book and indeed give supporters the opportunity for me to sign it for them.
No, brilliant. I'm sure they'd love to, well, buy the book, you know, because it's a cracking read, but also the opportunity to meet you and get you to sign it is fantastic. And I shall be at the CFC UK stall, so I shall come and say hello to you myself as well, mate.
All right, Dave, no problem.
Lovely stuff. Of course, I'm off on holiday, annoyingly, just as we've got going on a show. So we won't be back doing a show until the week. I think, actually, we'll be doing a show before the Man United game on you know, just before that. So we can preview the Man United game. That'll be our next show. But I can't wait for that because this has been great fun.
Perfect timing. Thank you very much, Dave. Enjoy your holiday.
I will. Cheers, mate. Brilliant stuff, and massive, massive thanks to Kerry. As Kerry was saying, you can buy his book up front from Amazon, or better still, try and catch him at one of his book signings and get a signed copy. He'll be at Lashing Sports Bar in Maidstone on Wednesday, September the 28th at 7 p.m, and he'll be at the CFC UK stall before the Man United game on October the 23rd. Kerry and I will be back with you on Friday the 21st of October to preview Chelsea's game against Man United, which may well have added spice with the return to the bridge of Jose Mourinho. Don't forget to tune in to the Chelsea Fancast on Monday nights, live at 7 p.m. at mixlr.com/Chelsea-Fancast, or of course download the podcast on Acast, iTunes and SoundCloud, amongst others. And for everything to do with the Chelsea Fancast, follow us on Twitter at Chelsea Fancast, email us at chelseafancast@gmail.com, or check out the website chelseafancast.com. Many, many thanks to Kerry. Thanks to you lot for listening. See you next time. Until then, keep it blue, keep it carefree, and keep it Chels. Up the Chels! It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.